It's 7 minutes past 10. I'm Cara Lawrence, and I'm very pleased to welcome back to WMUK the director of the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, Fred Tsang.
Good morning.
And of course, you have a history with WMUK, the original grassroots radio host back in the day. Yeah. Well, you know, the world keeps turning, and here we are at another Christmas season, and we have some catching up to do, Fred. Could you give us a quick overview of the last year of activity with the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus?
Yes, we've been quite busy. Last season, we did about 6 concerts in the area, and then this past summer, we went to New Orleans and did the Crescent City Choral Festival down there. It had a wonderful time June, and it was 112 degrees just about every single day and 99% humidity, but everybody had a good time and sang with some wonderful people. And then this year, of course, we started it in the fall, and one of the exciting things that we're planning on is our trip to China in 2018. So we're partnering with the Confucius Center here at Western, and so we began Chinese language lessons and cultural lessons for the kids on a monthly basis. So they come in and they're learning that a little bit about Chinese history and language in preparation for our trip there for 2018.
In 2018, what time of year will that be?
We're going to go in April.
In the spring.
In the spring, yes. We're going to take time off during the spring break and a little bit of time beforehand to get there. It's much less expensive to travel at that time. And we have found an organization that is going to partner with us in China, who has said if we can provide the airfare for the kids and get there and take care of all that sort of stuff, they will provide housing, food, transportation, and performance venues.
Now, spring of 2018 must seem a long way away to the kids in the choir, you know, like forever away.
Yeah.
But to you, you know that there's so much work to be done beforehand.
There's a huge federal grant that has to be written in January.
Oh,
and we're all nervous about that at the moment. But yeah, so we're and picking repertoire and thinking ahead that year and a half away. So.
Well, it must be nice to have the distraction of a wonderful Christmas concert in your way.
It is, and it's going to be wonderful. We're going to be down at the First Presbyterian Church on Sunday, the 11th at 3:00. And we're going to have 4 choirs there. The preparatory choir, which is 3rd and 4th graders. The treble choir, which is 5th and 6th graders, Bella Voce, which is sort of a middle school choir, and then the touring choir, which is a mix of a late middle school through high school students. And we're going to have, it's such a lovely acoustic in that church, and the kids have never sung there before. So I'm really excited for them to hear what they're going to sound like in that space. We have great music planned for the entire concert. It should last about an hour and 15 minutes. And we're going to finish with Elizabeth Bruce, who is the organist at First Presbyterian Church. She's going to accompany us on an Eleanor Daly piece called Christmas Morn that is designed to be sung by various choirs that are in a large choral ensemble and then combine at the end. It's going to be spectacular.
So there'll be a little surround sound element, perhaps.
Oh, yes, there will be.
First Presbyterian also hosted the collegiate or the Western Michigan University Choral Christmases last Sunday, yesterday, and it's just a terrific venue. So a lot of people are familiar with hearing vocal music there.
That's right, and it's sort of a hot spot for choral people. The Kalamazoo Singers are going to be doing their concert the night before our concert there on the 10th, and I'm looking forward to going down there and hearing them sing that concert as well. So it's a great space, and they're wonderful people. They're so welcoming and accommodating for folks to come and sing there.
You know, the director of Kalamazoo Singers, Rick Phelps, said one of the best feelings he's ever gotten was having Fred Tsang say that he was a good choral conductor, who had done a good job with the Rudder when you guys collaborated. So he still remembers how special that was.
Oh, that's nice of him. I have great respect for Rick. He does wonderful work with the ensemble. Yes, we did the Mass of the Children, the Rudder Mass of the Children, and we had just a great time with that.
Now, I know there are more than one conductor involved, or at least teacher, preparing these different choirs under your organization. So who are some of the people involved that way?
Well, Betsy Craig is our preparatory choir director, and she is sort of semi-retired. She teaches in Vicksburg elementary music there for a couple of days a week. Mm-hmm. But she's also a very avid tennis official for the United States Tennis Association. I don't think I said that correctly, but so she's off doing that, and she is also doing a wonderful job with the prep choir. My wife, Darlene, conducts the treble choir, and she is also a retired music teacher. Taylor Goodbranson is the only teacher that is currently working full-time. She's at Otsego High School and Otsego Middle School, and she is just a superb conductor and musician, and she's working with the Bella Voce Singers. They had a concert yesterday with the Eastside Choir at St. Mary's Church, and it was beautiful to hear them sing, both choirs. And so she's going to be doing that, and I direct the touring choir. So we have four people there.
Full-time. Music for so many kids. Well, how many kids in all do you are under the umbrella of the children's chorus?
We have 203, something like that, yeah. So, and it's fun because on Tuesday nights when we get together, they invade. They just come pouring through the doors, and people are, we practice at the Millwood United Methodist Church. And sometimes some of the parishioners are there doing some work, and all of a sudden this horde of children comes sweeping in, and they're up against the wall. Yeah. What's happening
you
here?
You can hear them before you see them.
That's right, yeah.
So the Millwood United Methodist Church on Tuesdays is where the kids get the training that takes them to from concert to concert, from
That's
goal
right.
to goal.
Yeah.
And at this age, like you said, you have four choirs for many different learning levels at this point. You can see a lot of difference between one grade to the next.
It's true. And the most important choir I think we have, and I say this all the time, is the preparatory choir. These are the children who come in who hold the score upside down because they don't know, you know, notated music is something pretty much new to them. And we work very diligently in a planned program from that choir through the touring choir on sight reading, diction, all those kinds of elements that make a choir cohesive and good. So they're learning how to sight read when they come in from third and fourth grade, and we practice that every single week. And it's remarkable what can happen by the time they get to high school. Their ability is just incredible.
And in a couple of years, they'll have been to China and back.
Yes, they will.
The Kalamazoo Children's Chorus presents its holiday concert on Sunday at 3 o'clock at the First Presbyterian Church of Kalamazoo on Bronson Park. And full details are available at your website, kalamazoochildrenschorus.org. I wonder if you would pick out a selection for us to hear from. Is this from a live concert?
Yes, it is. This is César Franck's Toli Te Ostias. It was written for SATB, and I sort of adapted it for the SSAA, just kind of reworking it because I really liked it. And the kids seem to enjoy it too.
Some wonderful singing, Fred.
Thanks.
You know, full-throated. They really are producing sound in a confident way. It doesn't sound bored. Like they're really engaged.
Yes, we were in rehearsal, and sometimes they're really concentrating hard and working on something, and they get done singing something, and I was moved by it. And I said, Did you enjoy that? And they would go, yes. I said, well, then notify your face because I can't tell. and so much of singing, choral singing, has to do with the visual part as well. I mean, the oral sensation has to be there. But watching people enjoying singing relaxes an audience and engages them visually as well as on the hearing end of it. I've been reminded of this past weekend we sang with the KSO. And they had Angel Blue, who was the soloist, a soprano, and she was remarkable. She sang the Mozart Alleluia. And I've never seen so much facial expression for one word in my entire life. And the kids had never heard a voice quite like that. And they watched her, and it sort of transformed their faces in terms of how they viewed their performance aura.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
You see a great performer bring everything they have to every note or putting their full expression into something. That's what you want to do. Get in front of a mirror and start emoting.
And I say that to them. I said, well, you know how when you're in your bedroom and have your headphones on, you're standing in front of the mirror and you're acting and all that, just bring all that to the stage. You'll be fine.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So many big and small lessons to learn with music instruction, with vocal singing, which to me is really the high wire act of musical performance. Somehow having an instrument that is designed to get those pitches right and, you know, do a lot of those things. Yes, it's tough to play an instrument, but the nakedness of the vocal instrument is more scary to me than pretty much any other instrument.
Well, and it's like walking a tightrope, and it's so easy, especially a cappella, to fall off. all it takes is one thing to happen, and things just can cascade off that tightrope and crash and burn.
What are some things that you can do to save something that's going lopsided?
Well, you hope that by the time you get to performance, you've pretty much addressed all those issues. But lots of times, it's just a matter of, for young singers, is when you're singing a cappella, is that you must absolutely listen to the ensemble. You have to listen louder than you sing. So that when you are singing in an ensemble, the balance and blend are there. And that's the virtue of listening rather than your singing. So we work really hard at listening harder than we sing, louder than we sing. And oftentimes, once they're solid on their parts, we mix the parts together so that we sing two soprano parts and two alto parts. So I say, mix up. Nobody stand next to anyone who sings your part.
Oh, and I see what you mean.
And so then they get to hear all those other parts around them, and that solidifies their concept orally of what it is they're trying to create as an ensemble.
Oh, well, that sounds a little tricky if you're used to being in a block of sopranos to move next to an alto, or alto one, alto two is singing something completely different.
That's right.
A little hard to hold your line.
Well, and that's the challenge. And for some, it's a little scary because they've not done that before. But once they feel secure in their part and then they hear that, they go, oh, that is really cool. It sounds nice. And they want to sing that way. So,
you have many, many years of pieces designed for young people up in your mind, you know, somewhere up there, right? And from time to time, you must be reminded of one piece or another and think, I have to put that back on the playlist. I have to include that on the next concert. Are there any pieces like that on this Sunday's concert?
Well, let me think
about
that.
Things that are coming back after a long
time. Well, there is one piece. Eleanor Daly is one of my favorite composers. She's from Toronto. She's a Canadian composer. She has such a sense of young voices for the treble voices. And she wrote a piece called What's Sweeter Music? And it's a beautiful poem from an English composer, English poet, whose name escapes me at the moment. But I've sung this with the choir, I think, three times in the past 15 years. And we put it on the program this year, and we also sang it with the KSO, but it had never been orchestrated. So the KSO orchestrated it for us, and we sang it with them this past Saturday. And the kids were just blown away by the wonderful orchestration that came with it. We're used to singing with piano. But then there was this full string section, and it was just remarkable. So that's one that really sticks out in my mind for the holiday time.
What are some of the pieces we can look forward to hearing on Sunday's concert? Are there familiar carols or different settings?
There are some familiar carols. We have a wonderful setting of The First Noel by Dan Forrest, and it is it will surprise you and it will move you in ways that you never thought you could before, because we all know that carol. It's just, it's part of the songbook of the country. But this setting is spectacular and beautifully written. And then we're going to be singing, the touring choir is going to be singing Believe from the Polar Express, which is this lovely, evocative song about believe what your heart is saying. You know, hear the melody that's playing. There's no time to wait. You know, take the risk. And we're singing that with all the kids. So we have these little children who are believing the song, Believe. And it's, and their faces are wonderful to watch. So there's a lot of good traditional music there and some new things that we think will surprise people with.
Again, that's at 3 o'clock on Sunday at First Presbyterian Church. Fred Tsang directing. There will be other conductors during the concert as well.
Yes.
You lead the touring choir.
I lead the touring choir, yeah.
And does it perform as the touring choir during the year or only when you're on tour?
That's the name that they chose a number of years ago. What do you want to be called? We don't want to be the concert choir. We don't want to be that. Let's be the touring choir, because that's what we do. We travel quite a bit. Mm-hmm. So we call it the touring choir, and we perform all the time. We're busy a lot. You asked me about a song that that I'd like to put in the repertoire more frequently. Last year we did this one, and it's a recording that we're going to listen to. But one of my favorites of all time is Lo, How a Rose. I love that piece.
Such a melody.
And this setting that we have to listen to has a soloist, Alison Boudet, and three handbells, a cappella, and this section where the word blooming is sung at different times in different rhythms and on different pitches by the choir, this sort of aleatoric thing, and it's just a beautiful setting of Lo, How a Rose.
We're enjoying a live concert highlight with Fred Tsang, director of the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, and leads the touring choir. Would you tell me the name of the soloist once again in that?
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I just blanked on it.
See, you said it right before we heard it.
This has happened to me more and more frequently. Alison Boudet.
All right. Alison, great job. And the entire choir did an amazing job, especially where it sounded like all the pedals began to open in, like you said, unstructured way. Difficult to follow your part and do your thing.
Yeah, because we're oftentimes when we teach this, we're pretty linear. We have a score. We have to follow that. And all of a sudden we come to a spot where the composer says, nah, just do what you want to do. I don't know how to do that. I'm not the way I'm trained. So
it's not easy to conduct.
No.
Conduct doing what anyone wants to do. Such beautiful technique, though, for a choral piece, and things you find more and more in choral concerts, the amount of technique and styles and time periods to draw from are so remarkable.
They are, and we had a chance just a few weeks ago to go hear Voces 8 sing a concert, and the reason we went is that Blake Morgan, who is a graduate of WMU, is one of the eight members of that ensemble. He is the only American that they've ever had in this British group. He sings tenor. So they have two sopranos, two countertenors, two tenors, and two basses, and they sing an eight-part harmony, and it was magnificent. And the subtlety of the performance. People are getting so incredibly musical and artistic, and composers are writing new things and new ways to look at choral music. It's an exciting time to be around.
It really is. And we're looking forward to this season, some really incredible professional choirs visiting. I know A Room Full of Teeth is one that Kim Adams is really, really excited about. And there's something on the season of Fontana that's slipping my mind at the moment. It's right in spring, though, and another limited number of people who can do incredible things.
I think there's a renaissance happening in choral singing. You see groups like Chanticleer and the Rose Ensemble and Voces 8 and other professional choirs that are the Santa Fe Desert Chorale, which is the most astonishing group, making an impact in small places, smaller cities like Kalamazoo, and not singing in major venues. They do that too, but they also have the ability to come out and share that music in places where in the past we would not have had the opportunity to hear it, and that is making, I think, this sort of choral renaissance.
Dr. Uchimura at the School of Music credits the incredible level of performance these days by young people to teachers, to great teachers being available in many, many communities. And that brings me to a story you've told at least once before, but I thought I would ask you about again, of a former student who you saw her develop and grow, and she went to college, and now she's back conducting for the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus. Would you talk about Taylor Goodbranson a little?
Yes. Taylor Goodbranson began singing with the Children's Chorus, I believe, when she was a sophomore in high school. And she, well, maybe she was younger than that, I can't remember. But anyway, her mother said, no, she couldn't sing with the choir. And so she cried for a week and a half. And her mother said, okay, you can go audition. Now, she lived in Constantine and came to Kalamazoo. So you know that's a long stretch.
Yeah, and that's why Mom said, you know, you better think about it before.
So Taylor came and auditioned and did a beautiful job, and she joined the choir. And so she would make the trip every week from Constantine on Tuesdays to come and sing in the children's chorus. And she blossomed there. And she needed some voice lessons, so I said, well, I'll take you on as a voice student. And so she would come up on Saturdays as well, and we would have a lesson every Saturday. That went on for a number of years until she graduated from high school. And then she went to CMU. By that time, she was going to be a flute major and a voice major. She wanted to do a double major. Well, she found out how hard that was going to be, so she chose the choral music, and she went on, and she's did a magnificent job up there. And so she graduated and came back, and we had an opening in the children's chorus, and I said, Taylor, I would love to have you come and conduct. So she's been on both sides of the podium. She's worn the plaid, as the kids say, and now she's on the other side of the stand. And she's just, sort of one of the, I don't know what you say, success stories, musical success
sure.
stories of those.
Children's Chorus Laureate.
There you are.
Comes back to conduct. Yeah. Yes, a nice turning of the circle there. Mm-hmm. Again, this concert celebrating the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, a holiday concert, is Sunday at 3 o'clock in First Presbyterian Church, downtown Kalamazoo. It's called Holiday Traditions. And I'm talking to Fred Tsang, who, how long have you conducted this group?
I was thinking about that the other day. I don't really keep that schedule in my head. I think it's somewhere I've been with the Children's Chorus for about 25 years.
25 years. Yeah. Well, congratulations.
Of our 37. So this is our 37th holiday concert. We're excited about that.
3 o'clock on Sunday. It's a ticketed event.
It is.
You can find out more online at kalamazoochildrenschorus.org. And tickets available at the door as well?
Yes.
Okay. And plenty of room in First Presbyterian Church downtown. Another highlight you could take us to?
Yes. This is, as you know, by my experience with grassroots here at WMUK, I'm a great lover of folk music and a cappella folk music singing. And so I found this English wassail called the Apple Tree Wassail, and the kids just love it. And there's a little shouting at the end, and again, a cappella in three parts.
Fred Zhang, that's terrific.
It's a fun song.
Thanks for bringing a live concert along. It's so neat to hear them like in the moment, still performing with great detail and rhythmic vitality, and yet bringing all that excitement of a live performance to it.
Cara, I'm gonna hire you to be our reporter, our reviewer.
Yeah, the color commentator.
The color commentator, right?
Sure. And speaking of Wassail, I'm just going to publicly tell a secret story about WMUK. Like years ago, our general manager at the time, Floyd Pienka, whipped up an actual batch of Wassail, probably breaking university rules, before the studios were redone, and it was in that big tape room with all the reel-to-reel tapes inside a slow cooker. I mean, wine and spices and all sorts of, and this big 2-inch froth of egg whites on top. And that was the tastiest drink I've ever had.
And I bet the whole afternoon was so relaxing.
Oh, it was a great day of radio, too, for everyone. God bless us, everyone.
Floyd doing that doesn't surprise me at all.
It was a real treat, as will the concert be on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Fred, thanks so much for coming along and talking about this concert. And you must... Is it bittersweet to see the kids grow up so quickly and move on to, you know, high school and other things and leave?
Well, you know, it is, but it's so terrific because as I watch all these, Facebook is a great tool for me because I sort of lay in the weeds and stay friends with all these kids as they go off. And we have kids who are judges and doctors and pharmacists and opera singers, and they're doing wonderful work. And I always say to them, as long as music stays part of your life, you're never going to leave us. And it has.
There are 200 kids involved right now. Mm-hmm. How do you recruit new ones as the older ones go off to school?
We have a join-up campaign that we start in the spring that we distribute posters or postcards and information to every area of music teacher in KPS, Portage, in the Allegan and Van Buren counties, and all the way down to Schoolcraft and over to up to Richland. And we get that out to all the schools. We do as much print as we can and the public service announcement things that we put out. And we really rely on the area music teachers to sort of be advocates for us. And we so appreciate their support. And so we show our thanks by inviting them to our concerts free of charge. And we give them 2 tickets to come. So, you know, when you're a music teacher and it's this time of year and you are just overwhelmed with all the responsibilities and performances that you have to do, it's nice to be able to go someplace and sit down and listen without having to worry about doing anything. So we hope that they'll take advantage of that. Love to see them.
What accommodation can you give a child with a learning disability or a different way of learning, behavior issues, things
That's
like that?
That's a great question. And Cara, we have a number of young people who have disabilities that sing with us. We have 2 or 3 children who are on the autism spectrum. Mm-hmm. And in fact, one young lady traveled with us to New Orleans. And it was the most wonderful thing to see her work in an environment with sometimes 300 kids were singing at one time. And sometimes the sound would overwhelm and she would need to leave. But she was so full. It was a great experience for her. We accommodate every single kid we possibly can. We always have and we always will.
Do you admire children who face things that they're afraid of and with bravery and make it to the challenge?
I sure do. And I think they're also a life lesson for those kids fortunate's not the correct word, but who don't face those same challenges. Because the kids that sing with us look at those children who struggle, and they see them overcome that, and they think to themselves, I can do that too. So it's a life lesson that happens every single rehearsal.
And it's a great way to build community too.
It is. And they support and they care for and nurture those kids who need a little extra help. And they sort of surround them with the organization, and that's lovely to see.
I wonder if the simple act of singing forms bonds.
I think it does. I mean, you think about well, you know, as a singer, and that when you do that, there's a certain sense of intimacy that occurs when you are sharing something as passionate as any kind of singing, what we just heard there, or what we might hear later on the Psalm 23, where you can't sing that and not be moved and not feel like you are part of something bigger than yourself. And that's an important lesson for everybody to learn, I think.
Well, let's talk about Z. Randall Stroop and the piece that was specially written for the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus.
Our 20th anniversary was 36 years ago. I'm sorry, 16 years ago. And I contacted Dr. Stroop and asked him if he would write an extended work for treble voices, something that wasn't usually done at the time. It's hard to find a work that lasts more than 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. This is a 15-minute work called An American Te Deum. And we're going to excerpt one of the pieces. He took an old Southern hymn and arranged it for, it calls for violin, cello, piano. And it's called Like a Feathered Dove. And it's just a beautiful setting of a very simple, folky kind of, and you know, my love of that. So he found that. And over the years, since we've done that, he came up and worked with the kids and was here for the premiere. We've become good friends, and it's nice to keep in touch with him. And he was just here earlier this fall at the American Choral Directors Association statewide meeting, and he came and talked with the young people and shared his experiences with them, and it was a great opportunity for them.
You must view it as sort of a jewel in your library to have it.
It sure is.
Like
I have the original copy of it signed by him, and you know, saying, you know, congratulations. And so, yeah, I keep that's my copy.
Well, once again, here's the Kalamazoo Children's Chorus, and the concert is Sunday at 3:00 at First Presbyterian Church. What a beautiful piece to share with us this morning, Fred. Music of Z. Randall Stroop. You mentioned you're well acquainted, good friends with Stroop, and it's the name that makes that I remembered first. I mean, it's a familiar name. I had to laugh at first with a name like Z. Randall Stroop, but then I started noticing how many times he appears on recordings and concert programs and realizing this is one of the major voices in choral writing today. And of course, him being at the Choral Directors Conference in Kalamazoo, another reason that, you know, he's the real deal. Can you talk a little about how special his writing is, particularly for children?
He started the Nebraska Children's Chorus a number of years ago and wrote a lot of music for them. And I don't know if it was in his early compositional career or not, but he wrote a lot of work for treble voices. And he really knows and understands children's voices and knows what their limitations are and what their possibilities are. And so he consciously does things in the writing that bring to a crescendo, and all of a sudden there's this amazing chord that leaps out of you like nothing else has happened. And his theory is that there are resonance pockets in children's voices. Given the proper pitches, you can create an overtone series that just causes that chord to explode sonically.
And, it sounds like a physics class.
I know, it is, and it is. And so throughout this American Te Deum, there are these spots where all of a sudden this whole thing just soars away. And So I you know, he writes like that for children's voices, and then you hear him, some of his work for the soprano, alto, tenor, bass, mixed ensembles, is just remarkable as well. I mean, the Lamentations of Jeremiah are one of my favorite pieces that he's written, and it starts out with this sort of Arabic chant at the beginning, and it is just unearthly. And then it just goes on. It's huge and beautiful and magnificent and hard. And so my church choir worked on that for a long time to sing it, and they got done. They felt they were very proud of themselves because it was a wonderful performance and a great piece of music.
The recording you brought in that we just heard is available recording. It's one of the CDs that you have available to
yes.
to purchase. It's called "How Can I Keep from Singing." I really love the CD. It came out of some sessions. Was it at Holy Family Chapel?
No, this one was from, we did this over at Dalton Center.
At the Dalton Center?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Recorded it there. Our last CD, Sing, is the one that we did at the Holy Family Church. And what a beautiful space to sing.
So there are two available recordings now. Any plans after, in the next few years to record again?
We're hoping to do one for our 40th anniversary, which is just a few years away. Mm-hmm. And we want to, again, include all the choirs. The first CD, How Can I Keep from Singing, is just the touring choir. The last CD we made included all the children, so we want to do that again. And we're hoping to have a couple of pieces written for us to celebrate our 40th anniversary, and we want to combine that and put that in the CD.
Oh, could I get an update on the East Side Children's Choir, which is the newest
Yes,
choir.
It was the newest one. And we are so excited about that. 3 years ago, we started out and we sat for 3 days waiting for children to come to audition, and no one came. And we were so discouraged. And so we wound up the first part of the season that year with 9 children in the choir. Almost 400 people came to hear them sing. And they were magnificent. Now we're 3 years later, there are 28 kids. And they sang their concert yesterday, and they were just wonderful. Just Julie Davis is their director. She's the choral director at Maple Street Magnet School for the Arts. And she does remarkable work with them. She picks great repertoire. She's so fun and wonderful with them, and they're so responsive to her. It was a great concert. So we're really thrilled about that. And we're even, again, more excited because we've just received some funding to start a choir for Spanish-speaking children. And I'm in the process of trying to find a Spanish-speaking choral director, so if anyone knows of anyone, please contact us at the Children's Chorus. I would love to talk with you about that. We're looking at creating that for third through fifth graders. It might go down to second grade. I think it's important that children be connected to the music of their culture, music of their language. And I don't think that there's an opportunity for that to happen among Spanish-speaking children in Kalamazoo. So we're going to try to fill a little bit of that void by offering this opportunity come maybe February.
I noticed the website has a big donate button on it. It's at kalamazoochildrenschorus.org. It's not always possible to be aware of just how much work and community building an organization like a choir does, but it's my chance to expose some of that when I have you here in the studio, Fred, and it is really extraordinary to see the work that you do beyond just the artistic goals for the kids.
Well, we feel very strongly that we are part of this community, and we have a social responsibility, not only a musical one. And the stronger we make opportunities, and the longer we make good opportunities available for children, and reinforce positive things in their language, in their culture, and their understanding, the better our society is going to be.
Well, Fred, we've actually used up almost the entire hour, so if you want to leave us with another final piece, and also, did we forget anything? Are there any last thoughts you wanted to share before we say goodbye?
No. I love coming here and talking with you, Cara, because it just feels like we're sitting down in the living room and doing it. So we've covered
up.
Everything. Yeah, and catching up and having lovely tea. So this last piece is another Stroop piece called it's Psalm 23.
All right. Let's hear it from the album, How Can I Keep from Singing?